to read to you from the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, the 38th verse. You have it there in front of you. I have never been more certain about the word of the Lord. I don't think I've ever preached from this passage before, much less on a Father's Day. But this is a Father's Day message. It says, "And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth or a famine in the land. And the sons," everybody say sons. Where there are sons, there have to be fathers, right? "And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he," that's Elisha the prophet, "said, then bring meal. And they cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot." It just took a handful of meal. Amen. Amen. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer again today. Lord, we know that your word is not bound. Wherever it goes forth, you said it will not return void. And so we call on you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anoint these lips of clay. Anoint our ears, our eyes to see, our minds to understand, our hearts to receive. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. As our scripture text said, it talked about Elisha and the sons of the prophets. It said there was a dearth or a famine in the land. Food was scarce. Amen. They're called the sons of the prophet. And as I've mentioned out earlier, prophets rather, where there are sons, there are fathers. This was what we would call today a Bible school or a Bible college for aspiring prophets. Young men that had a call on their life and men that were looking to gain the wisdom and the direction from an experienced man of God. So in other words, Elisha the prophet was a father figure to these young men in this college. He was about to teach them. Our scripture text said they were sitting before him. So he had sat down and was about to teach. And the Bible said that they prepared a pot of pottage or soup, as we might say. One of the young men that was gathering herbs for the soup accidentally picked up a poisonous herb, a poisonous plant, and put it into the soup, and it made the soup harmful. I'm somebody that in the past I've suffered from a disease called gout. Some of you have heard of that. When I used to have gout attacks, they would prescribe back in the olden days something called Colchicine. It was very effective. Scared me to death one time because I thought I had overdosed on Colchicine. It'll mess you up. Matter of fact, it's made from a plant that is so dangerous that I read when I was having my panic attack over whether I had overdosed on Colchicine or not. I did a lot of research and study on it. And I found that a man in New Zealand had gone out into the field. into the meadow, which is where this particular plant grows. And he gathered together some herbs to make a salad. And he didn't realize that he was gathering up the herb that colchicin is made from. And by mixing that together and making a salad and eating of it, it literally cost him his life. He died from an overdose of colchicin just by picking up the plants out of the field. And so when I read this passage about this young man getting this poisonous herb by accident and putting it into the pot, I could sympathize with that. But Elisha performed a miracle. And the Bible said that he took the meal and he put it into the pot, and that that was all that it took to take the poison out of it. I want to read the next passage to you. I'm going to read quickly from 1 Kings 17. It says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up." This is the story of another prophet, because there had been no rain in the land. "And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah this time, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel." Remember, Elisha threw meal into the soup. She said, "I have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meat wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Throughout the Bible, in particular, three passages, God talks about or demonstrates his provision. In 1 Kings 17, I just read it, Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. All she had was a handful of meal and a little oil. Earlier in 2 Kings 4, we didn't read this one, but it tells us about a widow, a prophet's widow that is in poverty. And the Bible said that her sons were about to be sold to pay her debt, when all she had was a pot of oil. And Elisha, this time, Elisha the prophet, commanded her to borrow vessels from her neighbors. And he said, don't borrow just a few, but he said, borrow a lot. And he told her to take what oil she had and pour it out into the vessels. And the Bible said that she poured and she poured and she poured until there were no more vessels to fill up. And the oil just was miraculously multiplied. And then in our scripture text that we read today, the prophet used just a handful of meal to detoxify a pot of pottage. There is a symbolism in the Bible to oil and meal. When the Old Testament, we talked about it a few Wednesday nights ago, when the Old Testament talks about the anointing oil of the Holy Ghost, or the old that they anointed the kings with, it was talking about the Holy Ghost. Today, even now, in obedience to James 5 and 14, whenever the sick come forward, we take anointing oil and we anoint them with oil, because it signifies the power of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus told the parable of five wise and five foolish virgins, he said the wise virgins had oil in their lamps and the foolish virgins had none, because it symbolizes the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? But it doesn't stop there. In Luke the 13th chapter, Jesus said again, it says, he said, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? But it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid it in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened." So Jesus said the kingdom of God is like leavened meal. But Paul said in Romans 14 and 17 that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but that it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so when the Bible speaks of oil and meal, it doesn't just tell us these stories from the Old Testament just to tell us how God provided then, but it is to let us know that He still provides today. And it is to let us know that the power of the Holy Ghost can be just as real and alive in you today as it was in other times. Can you say amen? You see, our lives are like a pot of soup, folks. Now, some of you may not understand that, but there's a lot of symbolism in the Bible. Isaiah said it like this in 64 and 8. Now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art the potter. We are all the work of thy hands. Jeremiah said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do unto you as with this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Hallelujah. The prophet in Lamentations called the sons of Zion earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter. The apostle Paul likened us to clay molded to honor or to dishonor in the hands at the discretion of the potter. Amen. But the prophet Ezekiel said, you are like a pot that has become full of scum. And he said, it's time to clean out the pot. Somebody say amen. He said, you are like, he told Jerusalem, he said, you are like a pot that has leftovers left in it that nobody cleaned out. There's still scum in the pot, and when you cleaned it, you didn't clean it good enough. Amen. When I first became a bachelor and moved out of the house from mom and dad, I was on my own, and for the very first time, I was responsible for washing my own dishes. And I soon realized, after just a couple of months on my own, that they don't wash themselves. Can you say amen? And I'll never forget the time that I thought, I'll just take this pot and reuse it again, and everything will be all right. And when that thing put me in the hospital for about 3 days with a bad case of something on down on the inside, I realized that there is a significance to making sure that the pot is clean. And to this day, when it comes to scrubbing the pots, I want to make sure there ain't nothing that ought not to be there left there, because I don't want to go through what I went through back then. Friend, what you need to do is reach down inside the pot and find every bit of scum and every bit of poison and every bit of vile thing that ought not to be there, and clean it out and get it where God wants you to be. Ezekiel said, you're like a scummy pot. Our problem too many times is we come to church and we do like I did back in my bachelor days. Spray a little water on it, rinse it around a little bit, and dump it out, put it back up on the shelf. And because we get a good feeling, we think everything is all right. But the scum has got to come out. The poison has got to come out. Oftentimes we make a mess out of our lives, and we end up with scummy pots. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you a scummy pot? There are poisons that have to be drawn out. And Jesus told us how it's done. He said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and by fasting.
Amen. You wonder, folks, some of you might wonder, some of you know, why we have been praying and fasting 3 days a week in preparation for this revival. I got news for you. The evangelists don't bring revival. If you're sitting back waiting on an evangelist to bring revival, then as soon as the evangelist is gone, the revival's going to leave with him. But revival's got to start with us. It's got to start with cleaning the scum out of the pot. It's got to start with a billow pad that gets down to where it is and cleans out the inside. Why are you praying and fasting, Pastor? I'm praying and fasting because we got poisons in the pot that got to come out. Some of you sitting there, oh, but this ain't Father. Yeah, we'll be. Just hang in there. But I'm going to dwell on this for just a little while. There are poisons that have to come out of the pot. And Jesus said they come out by prayer and fasting. And one of our problems, folks, as a church, that we have to understand is that new people learn from our habits, good or bad. New people drink from our pot. They eat from our soup. If there's poison in the pot, they're drinking from it and eating from it. If there's carnality in the pot, they're eating it. If there's jealousy in the pot, they're eating it. They eat from whatever pot we set before them. If new people walk into church and they see folks standing around, milling around when they ought to be praying, they're going to learn from our bad example. When they come into the house of God and they see us sitting there when we ought to be worshiping with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, they're going to learn from us because they're eating from the same pot that we eat from. Now don't get quiet on me now. I done gone too far to turn back. I might as well just keep right on going. Hallelujah. I've seen folks before. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you why. I hope I don't embarrass anybody with this, but I just got to go with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Preston, I owe you and Sister Lacia an apology, because when you first got here, you were here every service early for prayer, and you were watching us, and there were so many of us that weren't bothering to pray, that we have set the wrong example in this church. It's time for us to wake up. If we want Holy Ghost revival, it's time to start travailing again. It's time to start seeking God again. Brother, don't follow our bad example. Y'all get mad at him if you want to. I know when I'm in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The other day I was praying before church. I'm going to call out Avery because he ain't here. I'd call him out if he was here, though. I love my son. I love both my boys. But I was in the middle of prayer, and Avery came up, tapped on my shoulder. I thought to myself, this must be important. This better be important. So I look up to see what he needed. He handed me my keys. And at first, I was angry. And then I got under conviction because I realized I had taught him that. We teach our folks what's important and what's not important. Somewhere along the line, our young people got the idea that prayer before church is not important. And so, I didn't really blame him for it. I blamed myself. We gotta get the poison out of the pot. Are y'all still with me? When new people come in, they eat up our attitudes. They eat up our worship. If they just see us sitting there, then they're gonna learn from it. Amen. They learn from watching us. I'm gonna tell you what, some of us live for God like we diet. Anybody ever heard of yo-yo dieting? Come on, be honest. Who's been guilty of yo-yo dieting before? Sister Amanda and I, for several years, have been seeking the magic, what we call the maintenance. We just want to get to that maintenance level. Yeah, yeah, that's like Ponce de Leon's Fountain of Youth. You don't ever reach it. Amen. And we've told ourselves we've been on one diet after another. If we could just get to that magic point and find the magic thing that would keep us there, we'd be all right. But Lord, next thing you know, 6 months goes by, a year goes by, and we're right back up again. And we got to go back on another diet to try to get back down again. And then another diet, then back up again. And then another diet to get down again. Paul talked about going from glory to glory. But there are too many of us today that are going from defeat to defeat to victory, back to defeat to victory, back to defeat. And we go through it over and over and over and over again. What we need to learn is some balance. We heard the word of the Lord earlier today. We need to learn some balance. You ought not to come in here one Sunday bouncing off the walls and then the next Sunday mad at everybody. You need to get enough of the Holy Ghost in you that every service you can come in from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but preacher, I had some bad things happen this week. Your circumstances have nothing to do with your victory. Your circumstances have nothing to do with your joy. They have nothing to do with your praise. They have nothing to do with your worship. You've got to get to the place where you come to the house of God and say, I don't care who shakes my hand or don't shake my head. I don't care who worships and who don't worship. I'm still going to worship God. Instead, we're... Some of you going to see, after this Sunday, some of you going to be right back down here. We're here. Look, I know we're not all on cloud nine every single week. I'm not on cloud nine every single week. But there needs to be a bottom below which you refuse to go. There needs to be a bottom below which you refuse to go. That it does not matter what your circumstances are. Hallelujah. Is this all right so far? When new people come in, they're eating from our pot. And if they see us just sitting there, they're going to learn that way. If we don't pray, they're going to learn. If we've got attitudes, they're going to learn. And by the way, this has nothing to do with what I'm preaching, but I felt led to say it anyway. One more thing I want to add to that. There are too many churches today that are more worried about the size of the pot than they are the poison that's in it. We need to quit worrying about the size of the pot and worry about the poison. You know, the prophet, when they told the lady to get as many vessels as she could, they weren't worried about how many. They just knew that there was going to be enough oil. That's all we need to worry about. God's not worried about the size of the pot. But what he is worried about is whether or not we let poison stay in it or not. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm going to shift gears here just a minute. Our scripture text said that there was a dearth. There was a famine in the land. You know what that meant? That meant the land was picked over. Now listen, folks, we don't know the meaning of famine. We're the most blessed people in the world. We truly do not know what famine is. But in ancient times, when there was famine, there was no government program to take care of you. And if there was famine, you ate whatever you could get your hands on. And sometimes the circumstances got so bad. Literally, the Bible tells us there were cases of starvation where parents were eating their own children because it got that bad. But I imagine when... Elisha sat down with his spiritual sons, the sons of the prophets, that the land had already been picked over and picked clean. And so he sends a young man on a fool's errand. He sends a young man to do Mission Impossible. Go pick something for us to eat. And the young man gathering up the herbs. I can imagine that that young man, as he's going around looking, and the people had long since picked over the good stuff. And so the young man is trying to find something pleasing for the prophet. He wants to be a good host. Brother Shorter, he didn't mean anything wrong. But as he's going around trying to find something to put, so he can put a decent soup before his master, he sees an herb off in the, under a rock somewhere, and he says to himself, I don't recognize it, but I think it would be okay this one time to take a chance and get that herb. And so the young man, not meaning any harm, he picks up the herb and he bundles it with the few good things that he could find, and he takes it back and he puts it into the pot. How many of you understand that in hard times you sometimes have to resort to extreme measures to survive? I believe that the young man meant well. I believe he was just trying to prepare the best meal that he possibly could for his honored leader. He didn't want to disappoint any more than any of us would. But in his zeal to prepare the pot, he put death in the pot. But that ain't where I want to leave you. Because thankfully, there was a father there to heal the pot. There was death in the pot, but there was life in the hand of the father. The year was 1962, and I only know this because it was handed down to me. I was not alive then. Mom and Dad, early in May 1962, they were happy parents. They had a newborn baby, my older brother Mark, and they were rolling on their way out of the hospital. And my mom, as is custom, was in the wheelchair. And back in that day, I don't really know what they do now, but I don't think they do this now. But back in that day, it was customary for a nurse to carry the baby. And so the nurse was carrying the baby out of the hospital, my brother Mark. But somewhere along the way, the nurse stumbled, turned her ankle, and when she turned her ankle, she instinctively tossed my brother, threw him out onto, was it asphalt or concrete? Asphalt. And the nurse immediately went into a panic and stood there screaming. And if that had been the end of the story, it would have been a tragedy. But because there was a father there, Dad realized that the wind had been knocked out of my brother, just a newborn baby. And so Dad, while the nurse stood there screaming, Dad jumped into action, picked up Mark, and got him breathing again. Amen. Literally saved his life right there. Why? Because there was a father there. Later on in years, one day he got the call that again, Mark always seemed to be getting into something, even when it wasn't his fault. But Mark had fallen off of a ledge at school and had broken an arm. And once again, Dad was placed in a situation of trying to take a son to the hospital and get him worked on and get him taken care of. And I'll never forget, my mother said in later years, the only time she ever saw my dad cry out of church, it was not as he was at the hospital or at the school, but it was when he got home that night and laid there and thought about all the events of the day, that he just welled up and began to weep over how things had gone with Mark and how his heart fell for him. But when the moment required it, there was a father that was there that was ready to pick up. Amen. When the moment required it, there was a father there that was ready to take action. And when they looked into the pot and they said, there's poison there, somebody turned to Elisha and said, what are you going to do, Daddy? We need some help here right now. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so the father jumped into action, the spiritual father, and put meal in and said, everything's going to be all right. Amen. We all know that it's the job of a father to teach us right and wrong. They provide us with direction. Do we understand that? But let me also say one other thing that you guys probably haven't really thought about too much. Not only do fathers teach us right from wrong, but one of the jobs of a father is to compensate for our bad decisions. A father with just a handful of meal. There was a song years ago. I actually gave a copy of it to my dad one Father's Day about 30 years ago. Title of the song was Conway Twitty's That's My Job. Conway Twitty. Now, I'm not a Conway Twitty fan. Hello, darling. But hear me, folks. When I heard the words to this song, it broke me. In his song, hear the lyrics. He said, I woke up crying late at night when I was very young. I had dreamed my father had passed away and gone. My world revolved around him. I couldn't lay there anymore. So I made my way down the mirrored hall and tapped upon his door. And I said, Daddy, I'm so afraid. How will I go on with you gone that way? Don't want to cry anymore. So may I stay with you. And he said, that's my job. That's what I do. Everything I do is because of you. To keep you safe with me, that's my job, you see. Later, we barely got along, this teenage boy and he. Most of the fights, it seems, were over different dreams that we each held for me. He wanted knowledge and learning. I wanted to fly out west. I said I could make it out there if I just had the fare. I got half. Will you loan me the rest? And I said, Daddy, I'm so afraid. There's no guarantee in the plans I've made. And if I should fail, who will pay my way back home? And he said, that's my job. That's what I do. Everything I do is because of you. To keep you safe with me, that's my job, you see. Every person carves his spot and fills the hole with light. And I pray someday I might light as bright as he. But I thought especially about that second verse. And these words were original with Conway Twitty. He said, my dad wanted me to go to college and learn and do what most dads want to do. But just because I made a decision that he didn't agree with, didn't mean my dad said, I don't love you. He said, if I get out there and I'm in Los Angeles and this doesn't work for me, how am I going to get back home? And dad said, that's my job. You thankful for your father, Brother Shorter? Amen, Sister Shorter. But you know what? I'm thankful for my dad too. You might be looking at your life and all you see today is a pot of poison.
But he has a handful of meal for you. And he says, if you'll let me, that's my job, to just throw the meal in there and heal the pot of poison. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Lift your hands and your voices to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Somebody's made a mess out of their pot. Somebody's got poison in the pot. But there's a Father who wants to throw some meal into it for you. Jesus said the Holy Ghost is like a meal that's been leavened. Hallelujah. Why don't you just love Him and praise Him right now? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. Oh, hallelujah.
How He loves us so.
Oh, yes.
How He loves us. How He loves us so. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how
somebody needs to let the Holy Ghost draw out the poisons today. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you need the Holy Ghost and you want to come and pray right now, if you just need a refreshing, come on, if you need a renewing, why don't you come on down here? Hallelujah. Does anybody need a renewing? Anybody got some scum on the pot that they need to get rid of? Anybody got some cleansing that they need to do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Let's everybody gather up around here. Find somebody to pray with. Find somebody to pray for. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us.
Oh, how He loves
us. Oh, yes.
He loves us.
Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Come on, hallelujah, let Him clean you out. Come on, let the Father put a handful of meal in there today. Let Him put some meal into the poisonous pot. He can cleanse you with just His touch. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, yes. Oh, how He loves us. 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 Hallelujah.
he loves us, oh, how he loves us, oh, how he loves us. Oh, yes. Come on, let's hear. There's some folks that are getting rid of some scum. Come on, he wants to clean the scum out of the pot. He wants to take the poison out of the pot. Don't resist. Don't resist his will. He loves us. He loves us. Loves us so. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, he wants to clean somebody out. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 Resist in the day, come on. And sometimes we question why things are the way they are in us. The Apostle Paul said it like this: Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? It's God's prerogative what kind of vessel he makes you. Small, big, pretty, ugly. It's God's prerogative. And it's God's prerogative as to how that vessel is used. But it's up to us to keep it clean. I just want to be a vessel used. I think to myself, I've got, Brother Larry, I've got, now we don't have no fancy china in our house.
No.
I was on Shop Goodwill the other day and saw that there was a, what was that? Some silverware that was, the bidding had gone up to $745 at Goodwill. Oh, Lord, I had to mortgage my home to buy. We ain't got no china, but in some houses,
When I was growing up, Mama had a china cabinet. Y'all still got a china cabinet, don't you, Dad? You know what china cabinet's got in it? Useless china.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it is absolutely useless. But there are certain vessels in my house that have no beauty whatsoever to them. But every time I need a cup of coffee, where's my cup at? No, I don't want the pretty one. I want that one right there. Every time I get a bowl of cereal, there is that bowl. Every time I want a drink of water, there is a particular glass. And it ain't because it's the prettiest. It just feels right in my hand. And I don't care. I don't want to be china, sitting in a china cabinet somewhere, that God walks by every now and then and points to and says, look at how pretty. I want to be that vessel that is up there in the cabinet that every time he turns around, he says, that's the one I'm going to use today. I want to be the vessel that's used every day. You got to decide what kind you want to be. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I got to say one more thing. I'm on a roll now. You know something? That china rarely ever gets washed. You know why it rarely ever gets washed? Because it never gets used. But the next time you feel like you're just being going through the washing machine all over again, you need to remind yourself, if he's not washing you, he ain't using you. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.